Welcome back to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. This is part two of today's discussion with Dr. Frank Lipman. This is, it's a tough time of year for a lot of people. It's stressful. Super Bowl's over. They sometimes talk about this time of winter as kind of a hunger season when, it's kind of gray, cold, gritty, and the prospect of spring is far off. But it's a good time to take stock and change your life, detoxify, and make some changes. And this new book, The New Health Rules, is a great way to start. Frank, one of the things that I think makes your practice here in New York very popular is that you don't just concentrate on changing people's diet or giving them medication. It's a really sort of a comprehensive practice where you really try to transform people's lifestyles, and you make use of health coaches who work one-on-one with patients to talk about all manner of issues related to their health, not just what vitamins or supplements they should take and the foods they should eat, but also, talk about meditation, you talk about yoga, you talk about exercise, you talk about sleep. Let's visit some of those issues in terms of how you transform a patient who comes to see you. What's a typical patient look like who comes to see you in New York City?
It seems to change all the time. I'm seeing to see more and more younger people who are coming in with just interesting, who's been online and worked out that their autoimmune problem or their problem can't be helped by Western medicine, and they're much more educated than my older patients, and they sort of read a lot, and they're coming in a lot of times.
Wonky sorts of patients, wonky patients with reams of printouts.
Yes, right, but at least they sort of have more awareness of Western medicine's not going to help them. So it has changed, but I think most people that come and see me need to learn to relax. I mean, most people have agitated nervous systems, are stressed out, and don't really do anything in their lives to balance that. And and as I always say, the perfect antidote to the stress we have in our lives is meditation or learning some type of technique that stimulates your parasympathetic nervous system, which sort of balances the sympathetic nervous system, which is stimulated by all the stress we're in. So I really encourage people to either go to yoga classes. We teach them breathing techniques in the office. We have great apps that we recommend. The two that I know they recommend all the time, my health coaches, there's one called Headspace, another one called Buddhify. So we really try and sort of make it easier for people to start practicing. I say to them, even if it's 5 or 10 minutes every morning, but you need to do something to actually balance what's going on in your life. And we really, really encourage people to, even if it's sitting for 10 minutes, but if they're not going to do that, to go to yoga, to do some breathing exercises before they go to bed. And I see that makes such a huge difference. I do feel that if you can get people to get out of their heads and to do something that sort of counters the stress in their life, it makes a huge difference. It makes it easier for them to change their diets. It makes life so much easier. So we really push people to do something to counter the stress. And I think in New York it's a major, major problem. And I think, what the beauty of it is, you got to tell them it's not going to happen overnight. It's not like if you do a cleanse, you feel better in a week or two. With learning meditation or breathing techniques, we give them a month. You say, if you do this every day for a month, you're going to see some changes. And when people see those changes, it's easier for them to sort of keep doing it. Often people fall off the wagon. I do all the time. But then you know how much better you feel when you do it, so you get back up on the wagon. And so we really promote some yoga or some meditation or something like that. We try work to see what people will need. Some people just need to go out and dance and get out of their head. So we try work where people are at and what not everyone wants to do yoga or meditate. So we adjust accordingly. But we do always push them in some direction to manage their stress a bit.
Yeah, I've recently just heard an interview with Alec Baldwin interviewing Jerry Seinfeld. And Jerry Seinfeld, it turns out, has for a long time, you know, prior to his successful career, he was a TM, a Transcendental Meditation meditator. He discovered meditation. He found it as a very powerful tool in his life. So Alec Baldwin said, well, what's it like? And so Jerry Seinfeld paused for a couple of seconds. He said, it's like waking up from the most restful sleep you ever had and feeling totally energized and focused. And I said, well, that really encapsulates that. That's great. And he is totally sold on it. And he really attributes his successful career, a career that, you know, probably has endured a lot of stress and challenges. And he's the penultimate New Yorker. We know Jerry Seinfeld, you know, from the series, you know, confronting all kinds of the craziness of New York in that, you know, those challenging years of that run of that show. And all the while he was doing TM.
Right. So, you know, and I think, you know, people get it. When they do it, they feel much better, and that's what keeps them going. It's the same as with dietary changes. When people have a subjective experience of vitality and clear-headedness and just feeling so much better, that's what keeps them going. It's not us necessarily telling them what to do or them believing in what we tell them. It's them having that subjective experience of feeling like that. And I think if that's how we get people hooked on health, then they actually feel much better.
And one of your new health rules is don't multitask, solo task. That sounds a little bit like a call from what's called mindfulness, right?
Exactly. No, it is. And I've been very much influenced by mindfulness.
What is it precisely? Because a lot of people say, well, yeah, I'm mindful. You know, I watch my P's and Q's and, you know, I look out where I'm going. I don't bump into walls. But is it more than just that?
Sure. Mindfulness is just being extremely present in whatever you're doing. So, you know, as I say, when you're washing the dishes, wash the dishes. Because most of us, when we're doing something, our mind's somewhere else.
We wish we were somewhere else.
Well, that's also true. But, you know, what I do is I try to find people's experiences. Let's say actors come in, and they don't realize that they're meditating or being mindful when they're acting, or athletes. You know, when you're doing something and you really have to have focus, concentration, that's mindfulness. So it's sort of, you know, reprogramming the way people think about what it is to meditate or be mindful. So it's just being present. And I think multitasking, and now I see there's more and more research showing that multitasking is not particularly good for you. So that's what I mean by solo tasking. Just be present. Just be mindful. Just do one thing at a time and be present for it rather than, which most of us do, and I unfortunately have to say I'm not, you know, I get caught up in multitasking too, but I just think too much multitasking just burns your brain out, and it's not good for you. So learn to be present, learn to be mindful, learn to solo task.
Indeed. And you go way beyond treating individual patients. I think you're an important voice in the field of medicine for altering the paradigm of how medicine treats patients. I know you've been critical of the way that mainstream medicine has gone in some of your writings and blogs. So what do you think needs to change?
That's a hard question to answer. I think the whole way we see the body and the whole way we get taught needs to change. I mean, it was how it became pretty clear to me was, it was easy for me in a way because just on my history, I coming from South Africa, and after my residency, I went to work in the bush, and I was working at a hospital, and the people coming in were pretty sick. You know, we were doing appendectomies and.
So you're doing really blood and guts medicine. You weren't like always a lifestyle counselor. You weren't a lifestyle counselor to impoverished sick patients.
Right. That's when I came out of medical school. You know, I went to work for 18 months in the bush, and you had to be you were either the surgeon or the anesthetist when someone came in with an emergency, and you had to learn pretty quickly. But then we had to drive out into the bush and had to treat people who were coming and they're feeling tired and headaches, and they couldn't have sex 10 times a night. A lot of the guys were complaining. And nothing we've had was actually helping, but a lot of the traditional healers were there, seemed to be helping. And when I came back to work in in a practice in white suburbia, and the same thing was happening. People were coming in and they were tired and they couldn't poop and they were stressed out, and I wasn't able to help them. And some of them were seeing, there was one acupuncturist and there were homeopaths in Johannesburg at the time. They were seeing these people and they were getting help by these alternatives. And I sort of came to realize very early on that what I got trained in is crisis care medicine. And it's wonderful if you break a bone or you have acute appendicitis or having acute heart attack, I mean, which is what we get training. It's wonderful, but it's not dealing with 80% of the problems that people go to their doctors with. So I sort of saw that early on in my career. And even when I came to the United States, I had to do a residency, and the same thing happened. I was working in a hospital, and it was wonderful for crisis care, and then I started learning acupuncture, and I'd go to an acupuncture clinic, and I saw the acupuncture clinic was helping the patients that we couldn't help. So it was pretty easy for me to see early on that the best medicine would be sort of combining the two, or having Western medicine do what they're good at, and not actually have the hubris and the arrogance to think that they are actually helping these chronic problems that most people have and are not being addressed by drugs or surgery. So what's the solution? I think we need to, you know, retrain our doctors. I think functional medicine is a good way in. I think that's, I like the idea of training some doctors in functional medicine, because I think that is a system that Western medicine can relate to, because it's sort of science-based and it's biochemistry and physiology, as opposed to the Chinese medicine, which was the route that I went through, which, you know, talks about qi and energy and damp heat, which is never going to, you know, which is fine. The language is completely different. So I think the way to change it is to hopefully get functional medicine into medical schools, which is starting to actually happen slowly.
Yeah, so hopefully...
Long answer for a short question. Huh?
No, but I mean, we could go on and on about that. And there's some questions that torment me as well, you know, in terms of, you know, how can we have an impact not just on our individual patients, but, you know, have an impact on how medicine goes forward in the future. And I think things are changing. I think you've seen this during the, you know, period of a couple of decades that you've been practicing.
We used to be called quacks.
Yeah, indeed.
Gurus, but although we're still called quacks, but there's still some hardcore docs who just can't accept that maybe there's something about detoxification, or maybe people have a gluten sensitivity, or, you know, it can go on and on. But for the most part, I think it has become more acceptable.
Indeed. You place a great deal of importance on cleaning up your personal environment, on chemicals, chemical exposures, GMOs. Speak to those issues, please.
Sure. I think we're just exposed to so many chemicals on a daily basis. I think, you know, the average woman puts on a couple of hundred chemicals onto their body every day. It's just endless, you know, from the cosmetics that people put on. And the women are putting on tons of cosmetics, and these cosmetics are full of all sorts of chemicals, and they penetrate the skin pretty easily and go into the bloodstream. So, you know, we get concerned about eating organic food or not having chemicals in our food, but then we put chemicals on our skin. You know, a lot of the house cleaning products are full of chemicals. So there's so many, you know, what we wash our hands with is, you know, often full of the antibacterial soap. So there's so many ways we can decrease the amount of chemicals and toxins that we put into and onto our body and breathe into our body. So it's a way of decreasing this load of chemicals on our system, because I think why detoxification becomes more and more important is because although we have a natural detoxification system, the amount of chemicals that it has to detox or break down is just enormous, and it gets overloaded.
Oh, absolutely.
So I'm just, my philosophy is try and cut back on all these toxins and chemicals that we're putting into our body, onto our body, into the air. You know, it's crazy, and it's worked really well for industry and the chemical industry and the food industry, but it's not really working well for our bodies.
So on the one hand, we want to avoid a lot of the environmental pollutants, synthetic chemicals, and junk that's in our environment, but you actually suggest that we commune with our environments a little bit more, because, you know, one of the health rules of the past has been, you know, super hygiene, you know, wash your hands, use disinfectant, you know, spray Lysol on the phone receiver. But you take a different approach in your book, right?
Yeah, I think once again, I always go back to, you know, when I worked in South Africa in the bush. It was very interesting because the people that were coming in had different type of problems than today, and you know, they were playing in the soil, that they were walking barefoot all the time. They were sort of, you know, much more in touch with the soil. And I think now that we are more aware of our microbiome and what we've done to our microbiome, and you know, we have, you know, thousands of different bacteria in our skin as well, and so I think getting more in sync with nature and with the soil and going for walks barefoot. I mean, I'm now obsessed with walking barefoot on the beach for as long as I can and as often as I can, because I actually feel the difference. And I think that's what I'm trying to get across, is don't be scared of what we used to think was just normal, you know, walking barefoot. I mean, yes, you've got to be a little bit more aware, but I do think getting a little bit of sand on your feet, sand on your hands, is a good thing.
Indeed. So what's today's intelligent medicine call to action? Now, you, first of all, let's talk about the book, The New Health Rules, available through all the usual sources. It's a great book. I recommend it very highly, written by today's guest, Dr. Frank Lipman, and along with Danielle Claro. And I also recommend it as a gift. You know, give it to one of your loved ones to get them started in a health program. And you also have a website, correct?
Right, drfranklipman.com.
drfranklipman.com. And it's LIPMAN, the way it sounds. Yep. And you're in practice here in New York City, correct?
Yep.
So what type of patients would do well to visit the 1111 Wellness Center?
I love patients who just want to get healthy. I mean, I focus a lot on digestive problems. I mean, that's because I think so many people have digestive problems, and that but it's just anyone who wants to get healthy is not being helped by the traditional medical system. But I'm starting to think of myself as a wellness doctor. You know, how do you get people healthy? It's not, people come in with problems, but it's like, how can I motivate them and inspire them to actually get healthy and stay healthy?
Are you finding more and more that people are coming to see you and it's, well, you know, there's nothing, I don't have any particular disease or diagnosis, I just want to optimize my health?
Yes, I'm seeing more and more of those people, and I love that.
It's great.
Especially with younger people, I think there's a shift. You know, people our age who come in and see me, it's, you're still trying to convince them about certain things. The younger generation, we don't have to convince anymore. So it's a really nice turn of events that I'm seeing. I mean, I'm just seeing the younger generation are much more tuned in. It's fantastic. I love it.
Well, that's great. All right. So there you have it. The New Health Rules, Simple Changes to Achieve Whole Body Wellness, by today's guest, Dr. Frank Lipman. Congratulations. Great book. And keep up the great work. Thanks for joining us.
You too, Ron. Great speaking to you.
My pleasure.